much less good than the previous years. So it means as time goes by, there's more and more countries that are moving from green, from left to right. That's the situation of our world today. Next slide, please. The next chart is showing us the amount of... it's not this slide. Back, please. Back again. The slide that is next to this one. Okay, I think we don't have the same PPT. But go back to the first slide. I'll come to this later. Yes, then the first chart. Go back to the first chart, please. Okay, anyway. When we look at the number of conflicts throughout time, if we begin from the year 1960s up to date, we can see that the amount of conflicts throughout the world are actually increasing. And this is a very sad picture of our world. Regardless the amount of technology that we have, regardless the amount of money that we can make today, because today the world produces more than ever. We are richer, we are smarter, we are more powerful. At the same time, we become more and more aggressive to one another. That's the picture of our world today. And there's an institution called International Institute of Economics and Peace. That institute publishes this report every year, and this is what it says: that the world is less peaceful today than it was in the last 10 years. Since 2008, Global Peacefulness Index, that index, has deteriorated by 3.8%. And terrorism and internal conflict have been the greatest contributor to the global deterioration of peacefulness. Today, 104 countries have recorded increased terrorist activities. And the number of deaths caused by conflict has increased by 140% between 2006 and 2017. So this is the world we are living in. How peaceful is our world? And the founder of that institute, this is how he concluded the report of last year. He said, "We have made progress on many fronts in the last decade, but reaching greater peacefulness in the world has remained elusive." That means difficult. In the month of May, I visited the city of Butembo, and I had a chance to meet with the mayor of the city. And this is what he told me. He said, "In this city, the most important commodity, the most important thing we need is peace. But at the same time, the scarcest commodity, which is the most difficult to find, is peace." If you go through this city, you can see even on the posters, when the president visited Goma last time, there was a poster on many streets, and the message of that poster summarized the desire of the people of Goma. And the poster said, "Tunaomba salama tu," which means all we are asking for is peace. Peace is what we are yearning for. is the most important thing we need, even in our families. But how peaceful is our families? The next chart that was showed before gives us an illustration or a picture of what is going on in our families. Because if our families are peaceful, we will want to stay together. Hallelujah. But the sad thing is, since 1960 up to date, the percentage of divorce keeps increasing. The divorce rate was 12% in 1960. In 2017, it has gone up to 44%. That's what is happening in our families. And even among people who believe in God or in something, even among Christians, the divorce rate keeps increasing. Today, among non-Catholic Christians, the divorce rate is 37%. And among Catholic Christians, it's 36%. What is happening to our Christianity, brothers and sisters? If we believe in the Prince of Peace, how come we are so quick to turn our knife against each other? How come we have a challenge living in harmony? What does this peace mean anyway? Because we all want it. But do we all have the same understanding of peace? When I say we want peace, when we, the people of Goma, we say, all we want is peace, are we talking about the same thing? When we pray, God, I want peace for my family, for my country, are we talking about the same thing? Do we have the same understanding with God? Are we not asking something that we don't know? Or how sure are we that we have the same understanding with God when we say we need peace? Peace is generally defined as the absence of hostility or the absence of fear of hostility, the absence of stress, a state of harmony. That's the meaning of peace. At least, that's how the English and the French understand it. For the Hebrew, peace has a much deeper meaning. It doesn't only mean peace as we understand it in English or in French, but it also means to be whole, to be complete. It includes many other things, including things like good health, prosperity, justice. It's a state of completeness. That is peace. When we see peace in the Bible, that is what it means, actually. But in power politics, peace is also understood sometimes and most times just like a commodity, just like something you can sell for a profit. Yes, peace in power, when politicians talk about peace, you have to be very careful, because peace has become something that can be negotiated with a prospect of an advantage. We use peace as a commodity that we can trade. Yes, that's how we sign peace treaties. Yes, and when you look at the content of those treaties, You can see that it's just a matter of power. And today, many of my countrymates, when they say we want peace, what they actually mean is, I want a piece of the country. We don't really mean I want peace for my country. What I mean, what we sometimes mean, is that we want a piece of it, of that country. Because if that peace does not guarantee that I will have a share, I don't want it. That's how we human understand peace. But God is speaking to us this morning. God is coming to us this morning with His peace. And the Bible says, God's peace surpasses all understanding. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4 and try to get a little bit more about that peace that Paul was talking about in Philippians. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 37. Can we have it on the screen, please? Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 37. This is the story about Jesus with his disciple traveling on the sea with a boat. And in the middle of the sea, something strange happens. The Bible says, on that day, when evening had come, he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat. And the other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we are going to die? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, silence, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? This story is a very excellent illustration of what true peace is about. The windstorm is blowing and raising the waters. It is blowing so bad, that the boat is shaking. The boat is taking waters. Peter and the other disciples are on the same boat with Jesus. The boat is shaking. Peter, an expert in fishing, that is the job he knows. There's nothing he knows better than fishing on the sea. Peter, the expert, is panicking. Imagine the person you can trust, the person who is in the know of something, is panicking. Imagine the rest. But Jesus is sleeping at the back. But this is the master who said, let's cross over to the other side. This boat, we all have it. This boat symbolizes what we men build, what we design, what we make, what we do to protect us from uncertainty. Everything that we have as solution, everything that we have invented, everything that we commit to, all the precautions that we take so that tomorrow will be better. So that tomorrow, the challenge of tomorrow will be manageable. Those are our boats. And that's what Peter had. He had a boat. That's how we know how to fish or how to cross the sea. If you want to cross the sea, use the boat. Yes. If you want to succeed in life, use, yes, whatever you know. That's the boat you have. It can be your education. It can be your CV. It can be your business, your investment. It can be your relationships, your marriage. Yes. If I get married, yes, tomorrow will be better. If I got children, my future is guaranteed. If we have that peace treaty, our country will be safe. If we have a good political system, yes, we will have peace. If we have resources, we shall live in peace. Peace is our solutions for tomorrow's uncertainty. What is your boat this morning? Anything that is giving you assurance, anything that is helping you sleep at night, that's your boat. And we all have some. I do have some boats. Yes. And there's nothing wrong with having a boat. In fact, Jesus might even use it sometime. There's nothing wrong. The boat is what we have, what we know to how to, what we can do with the intelligence that God has given us. That's our boat. And it's good. It's not bad. Some of us have lended their boats to the Lord so that Jesus can use it. But you see, there is a time in life when the windstorm comes. When the windstorm is so intimidating that that boat of ours begins to take waters. Whether you like it or not, whether you pray for it or not, there will be a time that the windstorm will shake your boat. That time will come. As long as we live in this flesh, the windstorm will come. It will come to test your marriage. It will come to test the foundation of your country. It will come to test the foundation of your job. It will come to test the foundation of your business. It will come to test the foundation of your relationship. It will come. You don't have to pray for it. You don't need to pray for it. The windstorm will come. And when the windstorm is blowing so bad, you realize that what is happening? What is happening to my boat? My beloved one is leaving. I've studied, but there is no job. But Jesus is on the boat, but he's sleeping. My marriage got blessed in the church, and the windstorm is blowing. Where is Jesus? It seems like Jesus is sleeping. Yes, our country is under attack. My people are dying. We are praying. It seems that Jesus isn't listening. He's sleeping. Maybe it's your health. Your health is getting weaker and weaker. You've become addicted to drugs. And Jesus is sleeping. Your children are rebelling. And Jesus is sleeping. Your country's politics is not making any sense. But Jesus is sleeping. Your football team is losing. But Jesus is sleeping. Yes, you may laugh. But I heard of somebody who is right now in the hospital. His cheek is destroyed because his football team lost. And he went so mad that he fell down and he fell on a stone. As we speak, he's in the hospital. It can be as bad as that. Jesus is sleeping. How come Jesus can be sleeping when things are going so bad? But you see, we think of Jesus when the windstorm comes. When the sea is quiet, we trust our expertise, right? Yes. When the sea is quiet, oh, Jesus can sleep. Yes, doesn't matter. We remember that Jesus is on the boat when the windstorm comes. Thank God Jesus is merciful and kind. When we wake him up, he stands up and calms the storm. Hallelujah. Before we go further, I want to ask you, do you have Jesus on your boat? Because if you don't have Jesus on your boat, my brother and sister, you are taking a very big risk. Jesus stands up and asks his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Why?" If I was on that boat, I would have asked him, "Did you see the windstorm?" But Jesus is not asking that question because he's not aware of the strength of the windstorm. He's asking that question because he has given his disciples something greater than the boat. He gave them his word. He said, "Let us cross to the other side of the sea." For Jesus, that word was enough. Hallelujah. The word of Jesus is enough to take you to the other side of the sea. You can use your boat if you want, but remember, Jesus didn't say, "The boat will take us to the other side." He said, "Let us cross over to the other side." The problem we have today is even after we have received God's word, we still put our trust in the boat. And when the windstorm comes, we panic because what we have put our trust in is now shaking. We have forgotten that what is going to sustain us throughout the journey is something that comes from above. Hallelujah. The Lord wants to remind us today that it's my word that will keep you safe in the windstorm. It's my word that will keep your boat from drowning. It's my word that will calm your windstorm. Yes, my word is what you truly need. Do you still remember what the Lord told you? Do you still remember God's word? Today we are halfway 2019. You can count 26 Sundays the word of God has come to you from this pulpit. How much of that word do you still remember? The presence of Jesus on the boat is not enough to keep you at peace. You can have Jesus on your boat and still panic. Your peace, my peace, our peace as a country will come from the faith that we have in the world of the one we have welcomed on the boat. That is why Jesus asked his disciples, where is your faith? And the same question is asked to us today. Where have you put my word? Because that is where your peace is. Congo, where have you put my word? Have you put your trust in your resources, in your system, in a person? Where is your faith? God's peace is given to us today. It's not going to be achieved by our efforts. Jesus said to his disciples, my peace I give to you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to make calculation, to strive for it. It is given. And that is the good news. Jesus is giving out his peace. Will you receive it this morning by faith and say, Lord, thank you for the grace that you have given me to have this boat. But I want to put my trust in your word. Because that is where my peace is. Can we stand up and pray? It is well with my soul. It shall be well with our souls when we put our trust in you. It shall be well with our souls when we don't trust in our boats. It shall be well with our country when we look up to you, when we have you in our boats, and when we value your words. Lord, we turn to you this morning and we pray with faith. be that cornerstone that we need to build this nation. Lord, we repent from rejecting the cornerstone, the Prince of Peace. We repent, Lord, from rejecting you from our families, from our schedules. We repent from rejecting you from our work, from anything that we are building. We are panicking today because we have forgotten about you. We have forgotten that you asked us to cross over the other sea. We have forgotten that it is your word that has made everything, that sustains everything, that will protect us from the windstorm, and that will take us to the end of our journey. We come back to you this morning in faith, and we ask you, Lord, have mercy on us, and we receive your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.